I've been playing outdoors since I was a kid, standing by the front door at around 2 years old, hollering, "Side, side," trying to get my mom to let me go play outside. Now, after 30-plus years working in the outdoor business, I'm dropping insider conversations every week with brand leaders, guides, marketers, CEOs, and others that make the outdoor business a trillion-dollar juggernaut that drives product innovation, revenue, and public policy for everything outdoors. I'm Rick Sayes. Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
The U.S. defense industry is large, complex, and competitive. It is also lucrative for those companies able to navigate it successfully. The American Society of Military Comptrollers helps bridge the gap between the boardroom and the battlefield while supporting transformation in the defense sector. The Business of Defense podcast brings you inside the companies working to achieve this, directly from the business leaders, and to understand how they create value for their companies and their customers. For more information on ASMC, visit asmconline.org.
Begin PodFix Network transmission in 3, 2, 1.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds, fish nerds, fish nerds, it's a podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, the show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. I'm Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd, Licensed Fishing Guide, your best friend, and I'm joined, as most weeks, by my co-host, the beautiful crappie hippie. Hey, John.
Hey, Clay. I'm blushing all over here. I mean, just, you can see the face, but I guarantee you I'm blushing elsewhere as well.
Thank romance you is in the air, intro. John. Romance What's is that? In the. I said romance is in the air. So
romance is in the air,
and you're my Valentine this year.
Well, gosh darn it, you know, bromance is in the air always. And I'm feeling pretty special here all of a sudden. Anyway, yes, this is Crappie Hippie, the tree-hugging redneck from Eastern Kansas, co-founder of Glasswater Angling, Lead-Free Fishing. And we are here with our standard reproduction, sex-heavy, how do we want to say it?
It's our Valentine's special.
Our Valentine's special, indeed.
This year's theme is the secret sex life of fish.
Indeed, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And so, by the way, should put out a warning. This one, we are going to talk about a lot about sex on this show. And to some, that may be a bit cringy, to me also. So please use caution while listening, and it's probably not a great show for the kids.
Yeah, unless you're ready to answer a bunch of questions, because we only have one way out there story, but it's way the heck out there.
Yeah. And by the way, if my kids happen to tune in, Zoe or Blue Jay, I will not answer any questions based on this week's podcast. You are on your own.
Ask your mother.
ask your science teacher. You want to make someone uncomfortable? Say, I heard all about a blenny and how they do it. Can you talk about this? And we'll see where that lands.
So. Indeed, indeed. Okay, so anyway, thank you to the listeners for hanging in. I know we're a week late with this thing, but we had a big plan to do it one way, and then Clay got into some stuff, and I got into.
You know what, John,
stuff.
Happened is business picked up for both of us.
It sure as heck did.
We don't make any money on this podcast, so our focus has to be on making money elsewhere. And the guide service finally got ice in, and I started to have groups booking, and your lead-free fishing gear is starting to sell really well.
Yes. I got a big account with Daggerfish, which is a outfit that makes these cool little hand fishing rod. You know, they call them rods, but they're little hand fishing setups for if you want to kind of, you know, you don't want to do the juice can. Okay, you don't want to just wrap it around something. You want a nice little wood handle, and you want to do some hand fishing when you're out there backpacking. You want to catch some little brook trout or some little perch or something, make yourself some fish stew or whatever, or just for fun. They're going to take care of you. They have all kinds of neat stuff for foraging and backpacking and stuff. That'd be Daggerfish, daggerfish.com. The guy, Adam Nelson, run the company. He's a cool guy. Wanted to be lead free. Used to get his heads from Trout Magnet, but they quit making lead free heads and came to me. So I'm going to make a bunch of heads for that man. It's so great. And then, of course, our good friend of the pod, biologist Laura Williams of Maine Audubon, hit me with a big order of tackle for her tackle exchanges. And she's all excited to get out there and meet some ice fishers and go to some fishing shows and trade out some lead and get it out of the program and promote lead-free fishing. And we're happy to help her out with that. So, yes, sure. Indeed,
Yeah,
I'm a busy boy.
You found your niche, John. Lead free is where your niche is, and they say the riches are in the niches. So
I like that. I like sayings. You know, I do like sayings.
And it's true. Look how rich you are. You're just making, you know, dollars and dollars.
Yeah, I'm making dollars and dollars and dollars. Yeah,
you're going to be a hundredaire.
I'm going to be a hundredaire before long, and that is exciting to me. It's all a matter of perspective. That's a long ways up off the ground from where I used to be. So I'm grateful, but I'm also grateful for you listeners hanging in and partying on without us until we could get this together for you. And I am going to do my level best to go ahead and put another show out next week on schedule. So, my man, I hope I can get you to come in.
Oh, I'll come to work.
Something, and we'll do this again, okay?
I'll come to work. And so, big show for you today. We probably should give people a little table of content. We'll update people on Napod Pomo prizes. We got fish in the news. And again, the theme this year is all fish sex. So, looking forward to talking about that. I have a few specific fish I'm going to talk about their secret sex lives and their crazy reproduction patterns. So that's always a lot of fun. You've got a little bit you've done for Valentine's Day with Mrs. Crappy Hippie.
Well, this is lifted out of the old Lure Love podcast.
Perfect. And we got Whitney, who bought Jeff a real nice gift, a nice romantic gift. So looking forward to that. And boy, there's some more stuff after that, too. We'll just kind of let people wait for that because it's so much to get into. And I'd rather get right into the show, John. Let's start with talking about our national podcast posting prizes and what's happening with that.
Well, I've got them. I got half of them sent. Now, I'm taking care of 8 people. You got to take care of George because you know him personally.
George.
George, the grandson of, not Chester, which president?
Oh, George Cleveland.
George Cleveland. You're your buddy, George.
I'm like, George who? Yeah, I will. Actually, John.
I thought you worked together or something.
We do. I saw him this morning. But in fact, beyond that, John, and this is kind of, I'll say this on air right now, send me all those addresses because I do have extra prizes to send out to those winners as well. So we'll get
extra I'll do stuff that in my abundant.
And you have all the addresses you need. So people should be expecting stuff in the mail next week or two if they haven't already got it.
Right. If you haven't already got it, David and Kevin and Piper, your stuff is still laying right here, but I will get to it soon. You know, and it's crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff. The reason I've dragged on a couple of you because I made a little custom thing for Piper, but I couldn't decide what hook to put on it. Believe me, it's been 3 weeks of agony.
Oh, man.
One hook on, taking one hook off, going, nah, I want that bigger hook. Nah, I don't want that bigger hook. Yeah, that's how geeked out and wrapped up in this stuff I can get. So
I love it.
Coming out, we're going to be with you. All righty.
Out of the gate, why don't we go to the news?
Let's go to the news. We love fish in the news.
You know, what's funny about the wrong button, John, is I've labeled my buttons and I don't look at them when I hit them. I just reach over and hit the button without reading because that's how I roll. Fish nerds, we're professionals.
Well, yeah. And maybe you can get, you know, some sort of mental training to where your hand just automatically knows.
I know. They're all color coded. But let's move forward. The first story, actually, John, this made national news, including recently on Wait, Don't Tell Me, one of my favorite NPR news shows. And this is all about Tampa Bay residents being woken up in the middle of the night. This happens in Florida, and they've been having to raise money to figure out the noise that keeps them up at night. And so every night they go to bed, and the people who live on the coast, which is Tampa, are woken up by this humming and thrumming noise at night. And one resident raised $2,500 and gave it to scientist James LoCascio to investigate the bay by installing underwater microphones. And they figured out that people in Florida are being woken up by drumfish having sex, doing the ugly. These guys may at night in the winter times, and they make noise by flexing their muscles. And everyone is surprised, even though it's been happening for years, but it's not well known. So it made the news. And by the way, I feel like this makes the news every single year.
Yeah, I feel like it makes the same. I've heard this before, and it cracks me up because it's on two counts. First of all, what did you expect it to be? A bunch of conceptual musicians underwater doing something? I don't really know.
You got a bunch of vegans drumming out there having a big orgy on the beach.
And now what are you going to do about it? Because it's just like, okay, we can't exactly. I can't see the poor Tampa policeman out there trying to write up a black drum. Right. You know,
have
really,
you been to Tampa? Supposed, you know, have you been to Tampa?
Oh, no, I have not.
Okay, so Tampa, there's some really nice parts of Tampa and a lot of trashy parts of Tampa. And a lot of places where hearing sex in your neighborhood wouldn't be surprising. there's a lot going on in Tampa with the sex trades. And so I think that residents should worry less about the black drumfish and what they're up to and maybe what the people in the no-tell motel next door to them are up to.
So they got like FOMO. Maybe there's something in the bay I need to know about.
Yeah. Right. I'm missing out on something. Or maybe I complain about the fish doing it so I don't have to think about what's happening in the $20 an hour motel next door to my house.
Yeah, $20 an hour.
I'm not kidding, John. This is real.
I've just missed out, not heading south. I guess I may have to make a new plan. I don't know.
That's it. I was in Tampa last Christmas, and I did a lot of fishing. Didn't catch any black drums, but I did catch some sheep's head. And, the fishing was pretty good down there. So, now's the time to listen to those drum fish do it while you catch other fish, I guess. I'm not sure how much they eat while they're spawning. A lot of fish don't eat while they're spawning.
Oh, right. You've got to get a reaction strike or mm-hmm. something like that. Yes,
I'm angry.
Yes, indeed.
Yep, or have a lure or spoon that just looks like a fish that they want to do it with. They're going to just bite that fish because they're just in the mood. It's romantic.
Yeah, right. We catch a lot of fish because they're trying to just snap at other fish, drive them away from their area. They get a little territorial, get a little excited there.
Well, don't we all, John? I'm telling you what, if I was doing it and a bunch of people walked in on me, I would bite them as well.
Yeah, I'd be like, get out.
Or it depends on who they are. I might be like, maybe. Something new.
I don't even see. We got to keep this under control, brother, because I we all have these things we've heard, and but the whole key party thing, I'm just like, if I ever, always somebody telling me, and then they had this thing where they called it a key party.
Oh, God.
And that's when I left, and it's just like, oh, my gosh.
I know. Like, I'm not going to yuck someone else's yum, John. I think
No, I'm not either, but I'm just like, it just kind of would hit you out of nowhere,
Oh, yeah, you should know about it. if you're going to that kind of an event, you ought to know what you're getting into. So, yeah.
Right, that it is that kind of event. Yeah, it's not just a meeting of the town council. We have a
best town council meeting ever, if you ask me. All right, you got some news here, John?
I got some news, Clay.
All right.
If I want you to watch something,
okay,
video or something like that, which is going to make you want to watch it more if I say watch this video or don't watch this video.
Oh, if you say don't click on it, or if it comes up on Facebook and it says like hidden contact may be offensive to some, I'm going to watch that video first.
That's what I thought.
And I may not watch the other one ever.
Well, this thing is, this is what gets me. This was rather old. This is more, back in 2023. But I came upon it because exactly what it was. The whole thing, the article is not so much about what's going on or what happened, but let me just get the trout out of the bag here, okay? This couple was busted for putting rather fringe sex videos on the internet, one that supposedly involved a grave and another one where they had indecent contact with the fish.
Well, who hasn't?
Well, there's the animal rights people that think all our contact with fish is indecent. I don't know that I have ever, we get people doing a lot of crazy things with fish on this podcast and in this segment. What happened is this veterinary clinic in Tasmania, one of their assistants was the woman half of this man woman plus whatever exchange. And so they're getting a lot of hits and a lot of people searching their site trying to see the video because she used to work there. And I'm telling you, it's supposedly a really, really raunchy, really, really, depicting acts of depravity. I mean, with a trout. And
I was going to ask you, do you know what kind of fish it was? That's important.
Yeah.
It's a detail because some fish want it.
It's terrible, Clay. I mean, it's something that no one should want to see. No. I searched for it for over 4 hours.
Of course. Now your browser history is ruined.
That's right. I'm loaded with viruses and everything else.
Always go incognito mode on your computer when you're doing these searches. Or better yet, do it on a phone where you can't get a virus.
There you go. There you go. Tips from those that know. But there's a picture here of the accused woman in a different video holding up a very worried looking trout. So, yeah, indecent acts with fish. And
have you ever accidentally had an indecent act with a fish?
Accidentally?
Yeah.
Like accidentally?
Yeah. Like have you like so? I'll give you an example. So
I don't even know what you're asking, man.
All right. So coming up in March, when I'm catching a yellow perch through the ice, the yellow perch seem to really love, especially the males, love being caught. And the way I know is because when I catch them, they sperm all over me every time. So therefore, yellow perch love being caught. Especially the males, because you catch them and they go, whoa. Yeah, you hear them. They go, and they shake a little bit.
Yeah,
And suddenly I feel more attractive.
Well, you know what? Next time a bluegill does that to me, I'm going to take it the same way and get myself a confidence boost out of
it. That's a compliment, that's John. Sure. When was the last time that you've walked up to another creature and just by putting your hands on it, you created that kind of joy?
I want to get too confessional here, but
I don't have that kind of power. It takes a lot more effort usually. Yeah. So
yeah, it's faded over time and life is not as kind as I had hoped it would be.
Right.
But anyway, there you go. It's a video of a man and a woman and the trout. And I can
let me put this out to internet land. All listeners, please do not find this video and do not send it to us.
Yes, so
you don't want to see. I don't want to need it on my browser. The fact that it exists is problematic enough. You know, we're joking about it, but I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
and if you find it and click on it, you are paying people for that kind of stuff. So don't do it.
Yeah, I think anyway, it's an older story. It's from back about almost a year ago. But
I bet that video lives on the dark web somewhere, and there's some.
Oh, without a doubt, really without a doubt, and that's
stay away from it.
That's out of my. Range out of my.
And this was in Australia, right?
Yeah.
I would expect that from Florida, but not Australia. Come on, Australia, get it together. Yeah, you can't be the Florida of the world.
I mean, it showed up in the Aussie news. Apparently, this couple, at least the lady, worked at a place in Tasmania. I don't know how much popping about people do between Australia, New Zealand, and Tasmania. I don't know how big a boat ride.
John, there's no difference.
There's no difference.
Okay. No, same place.
All right.
We just lost our 5 Australian listeners, and he was like, "Oh, mate," you know.
Right, and then we gained 10 more. Luke's holding up our end down there. He's like, "Oh yeah, I saw that." Okay.
You could probably shed some light on it. He may, perspectively speaking, you different culture. Maybe they just think differently about fish.
Think so?
No. All right, we got more news, John. Let's keep going.
Of course, we got more news, and this takes me back to this next story. They say, build it and they will come.
Oh, yeah.
Well, all right. I did that unintentionally, but it's funny. It's true because. I did a report on the salmon streams. We're going to California now. Another crazy place where people are pretty easy going. But so this next story comes from California, where people are pretty easy going about their tastes and other people's tastes, which is it's cool, whatever. But this is back to more of a biology thing. Sacramento. And how they're having problems getting them into these streams up around Sacramento. Well, just a few miles south of there Oakland Bay, San Francisco Bay. I don't know. It's San Francisco Bay, like the whole thing. And then there's smaller bays, I guess. And these rivers come in there. There have been these near superhuman efforts on the part of volunteers. The East Bay Municipal Utility District has her own biologist, which is really cool. And she has been working for 10 years to restore gravel beds that were lost because of siltation or flooding or whatnot. And in addition to that, she has gotten the water company, the East Bay Water Company, to pulse fresh water at the proper time. Her name is Michelle Workman, and she is out on the McComany River, and she's been working her keister off for the past 10 years to bring the salmon back into this river. Well, listen, you build a bed, baby, and something's going to lie in it. Here they come. The average from 1940 to present was about 5,000 fish a year.
Right.
She had 24,000 fish in the river this year.
She must have made some. You know, did she make the beds heart-shaped, or do they have a little box of and they vibrate?
That's right. That's right. That's right. No, the preferred comfort for Chinook salmon is just nice little gravel bed. So, you know, everybody has their own thing, I guess. And but a nice gravel bed and getting the water to flush into the bay. Because they stage up there and they wait. And when they feel that fresh water, they feel that salinity change, they start moving up. And this river is not that big. And they have a film of her standing out on this bridge. And this river, literally, you know, the old expression, you could walk across the fish. Mm-hmm. It looks that way. It is pretty cool. But yeah, build a bed and they will come, Clay. They will.
They will.
I keep saying they will. They will.
They will, you
know, gonna lay in it, okay?
The younger, more virile fish will will try. The older ones will give it a go, but they may give up before they finish.
Hey, they must have some amazing times because, of course, once they're done, they die. So it is a last hurrah, but it's kind of romantic and sad compared to, say, a black widow or a praying mantis female eating your head off after they're done. You know, that kind of thing. So I thought it was pretty cool.
That is cool. I mean, it's really great too. And it's also nice to see people getting that restoration fever and doing the right thing for it. I'm curious, and they never really report on this. Whenever they do restoration for salmon, they're also restoring for lots of other anadromous fish they never even talk about. And I'm always curious what other fish are moving in and also using those beds, because there always is.
There always is. And it is. There's nothing works in isolation. And, but anyway, I put, there's links in. I've got the televised news story. So there's some video there for you to watch. There's a story for there for you to listen to if you want. Really cool stuff. Now, moving on, similar story, similar area. I'm going to tell you, Clay, I got a classy lady myself.
Oh, you do, Kathy?
I do.
Mrs. Crappie Kathy, Hippie?
Mrs. Crappie Hippie.
I'll tell you, Mrs. Because, Fish Nerd is pretty classy, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing with us.
I have no idea. But I will tell you something right now. A classy lady, classy person, whatever. Nobody wants to do it in a dirty bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that is your yum, I'm not yucking you. But in my particular case, I remember when we were young. And I mean, young, when our early 20s and teens and 20s. I mean, Kathy and I got together when we were 19. So it's been, you know, back in the day. We go to take a little study break, wink, wink, and she go in there. And if I hadn't made the bed, I have to run in there and make the bed and spruce up the bedroom before she go in there.
I never washed a sheet until I was dating Mrs. Fish Nerd. I'm like, you have to wash these things? I shower before I go to bed. Why would I wash them?
What, you'd eventually burn them after what, a year or something?
Throw away every 18 months. Yeah,
there you go. It sounds right. It is something to it. Yep. But anyway, this is now we're going to move to a little a different area, and in the South Bay area, we've got these a lot of homeless camps and a lot of other pollution and trash and stuff up and down these rivers in that area, and there's this South Bay Clean Creeks volunteer group that single-handedly has removed, it's like X million pounds of pollution. Just basically physically removing trash off these gravel banks. You know, it's not they had to restore them or anything, but it's just there were so many people not taking care of things out there. And, you know, I'm not going to jump up and down about houseless people and what they need to do and so forth. But you come across a squatter's camp, you know, you're coming across the most god awful mess you ever did.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And, you know, and then of course they're very nomadic. They don't have the means to get rid of their trash. They basically are forced to leave stuff behind. But these South Bay Clean Creeks Coalition people have cleaned more than 1.3 million pounds of trash from the waterways around the South Bay area. And it has caused amazing recovery of the salmon runs there. So two lessons learned, you know. You want some fish romance, you got to give them a bed to romance on. And if they already got a bed to romance on, you got to help them out and clean that bed off for them so that they get those eggs don't get smothered. So the fish can actually recognize that this is a spawning area rather than a bunch of plastic wrap or right. whatever's down there, you know, that's making putting them off. Really, really good news. And it's amazing what people can do. You want to fight for something, you want to get after something, you want to do something. There are so many ways you can. You don't have to save the world, but by golly, if you can spare a few hours, go help Trouts Unlimited, go help an outfit like this Clean Water Coalition, things like that. It's amazing because these are real accomplishments, and the salmon sex is alive and well around an area, the Oakland, San Francisco area, remarkably to me, with all that pressure from population, is doing way better than up in the agriculture area around Sacramento.
It's amazing.
The fact that there's more people there and more community active people and the more environmentally aware people.
Well,
it's weird how high concentration makes for more recovery.
Well, and you have that. Plus, you have different kinds of pollution happening in different areas. So, like with the agriculture area, the pollution is going to be largely chemical based. It's going to have, you know, fertilizer runoff, you know, and that sort of thing. Whereas in a city, it's more actual physical trash. And from what I understand is that salmon can handle some pretty trashy waters, but that those chemicals can really screw them up. So
yes,
it's a different pollution.
It is a different pollution, but you can get things, you can get a situation where the pollution, you know, physical, you know, we're not talking about the micro stuff so much here. We're just talking about, You know, we know that certain fish will fight to survive no matter how physically, you know, trashed this place gets. You know, they'll still try to use it. But the thing is, when you apparently spawning on an old milk bottle, an old milk jug, mm-hmm. spawning on an old trash bag is not nearly as effective as spawning on the gravel. Right?
Well, so, because they don't have the right substrate anymore. It's all covered by garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we're getting this, you know, it's an amazing story about recovery and making a nice, clean place for these fish to undergo their life cycle, to have their sex and to have it work out to the procreation goal that they have. And the humans made this problem, and a different group of upstanding human beings have come along and are solving it. So let's hear it for people on the right side of these things. Yep. Thank you.
People who are
South Bay Clean Creeks Coalition.
People who are pescatorial fish sex positive.
Exactly.
I love it.
Well, you need to go to their website and look. They show in a camp they came across, and you know, within a couple of days, they had it right back to pristine nature. Okay, now.
John, I'm going to put all these sexy links in the show notes, the sexiest show notes of all. Yep.
All right, now.
Now.
I don't want to get a bunch of people's hackles up and all carrying on, but you know how back when, you know, we're having a little bit of a go about LGBTQ people in this country and.
Oh, happy to have that go. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, they're citizens. I'm proud to call them my fellow citizens. People.
Right, well, I'll give you. Well, Fish Nerds has a stance on this. Our official stance of people is we like people to live their best lives and be happy and not hurt each other. And if you're on a team that says we don't support people living their best lives and we want to tell other people how to live their lives, we don't support you. So that's where we're at. You do you, boo, as they say. It's not our job to tell other people how to live their lives.
And that's right. And but my thing is these specious arguments when back when, you know, a while back, people were like, well, you know, gay animals aren't gay. How can people be really gay? And it's just like, well, then we got a bunch of biologists get on this and say, oh, touche, wrong.
Au contraire, mon frère.
Au contraire. That's the right word.
Oh, there's so many great stories of gay wildlife.
Right.
There's so many good ones. We could do a whole episode on that alone.
So, you know, okay, we're feels, I guess it's okay for people to be gay, but I can't do these trans people. Well, because animals don't do that. Well, animals do that.
They do, and they're good at it.
They are good at it.
They're arguably better than people at it.
Well, so, you know, they are beloved of God, and they have been set up from the get-go to be trans.
Sure.
And
there's a lot of them.
Like 9-10 species just right off the top of the popular listing. You can just grab one, you know, you put that in, you'll get several pages that point out fish like. Come on, Clay. You know, you want to
tell the clownfish story. Of course. I don't want to tell this whole story again because we've done it before, but clownfish are a great example of a fish that will switch changes. I'll give you the brief one sentence. If people who are new to the podcast will know this, I always like to tell the true story of Finding Nemo. So I tell the story in public when I'm doing public speeches all the time, but clownfish are gender switchers and they mate for, theoretically, they mate for life, right? So they live in this little anemone with their mate. And so, and if their mate dies, something has to happen. So the real story of Finding Nemo is in that story, in the movie, Finding Nemo and his dad and his mom are happy living together in their little clownfish world. And mama swims away and gets eaten by a barracuda. Now in nature, what would likely happen is dad would gender switch to female and then mate with the nearest clownfish, which would be Nemo. So a very different story than the Disney version. It'd be a little uncomfortable to have that in Disney.
So,
it'd be an interesting story, and that's how it runs.
Well, the story that I'm about to talk about is the absolute champion of gender switching.
Mm-hmm.
It was in a Nat Geo article, and in order to look at the article when you follow this link, you're gonna have to give them your email, so you may or may not want to do that, but I did because I just had to read it.
Gotta know.
Well, in the Caribbean, there's this itty bitty little bass, little 3-inch thing called a chalk bass.
It's a good name.
And it's fun. And this fish can change its gender at will and does so up to 20 times per day.
That's a lot.
It comes upon another chalk bass, and that chalk bass is grooving female.
Mm-hmm.
They'll assume the male role. And they've got, I read it twice and I still wasn't completely clear. They can create sperm packets and egg packets. They can, you know, so it's with pheromones, you know, they're still studying exactly what sets them off and how they know, oh, you're all cranked up to do the female thing. So I'm going to get all cranked up the other way.
Right.
But anyway, they can switch back and forth.
Up to 20 times a day.
Very easily.
Now I was reading about other fishes who do this, and even though they have both genders, a lot of them, they aren't procreating with themselves. They still need to do it with a mate, but they'll switch and still cross over those gene pools with others in their, you know, they'll share genetics still.
Right.
A lot of them. And these, do you know if these guys can self reproduce or do they need a mate?
I think they need a mate.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Usually with, especially with bony fishes, they need that mate. If you get into some of like the fishes that maybe have more cartilage for bones, or Doc Martin probably said some lights. There are fish that do reproduce without a partner, but these, I don't think these are it.
Yes, there are some. Yes, indeed. There was a movie I would call a noble failure called Enemy Mind and Enemy Mine.
I love that movie.
It's a cool, and the Drax, the aliens, they were, self-fertilizing, you know, just get pregnant out of the blue.
Sure. So,
cool stuff. But anyway, that's all I had on trans fish. I see that you've stuck some new notes in here.
I do want to break out of the news here, which is what wraps up our news.
Break out of the news and I'm done, brother.
And I'm going to share with you the secret sex lives of fish in just a second. Let me hit my news button here. It's the orange one.
News, fish in the news. Everybody loves their fish. There's only one way we're gonna get more fish.
All right, John. I promised you the secret sex life of fish, and I did a little bit of homework. And luckily, I'm not the only person who does homework on fish sex. Lots of people like to write about it. So I actually used just one source today. I found hundreds. But I have one source that had some fish I hadn't talked about before on this podcast. And we've done this before. And I wanted to do some new fish. So I went to the fisheries blog. So I'm going to give them some credit here on the show. And I found a few examples of some fun, interesting ways that fish make new fish. So, you know, when two fish love each other very much, John, I'm just going to give you the whole fish talk. But actually, I'm going to talk about a few species of fish. Have you heard of a pirate perch?
I have not heard of pirate perch.
So pirate perch spawn by using salamander holes.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
Have not.
No, they spawn in salamander holes, and they actually have to spit their gametes into the holes to reproduce.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's interesting because they're... urogenital pores are located right next to their mouth, like right under their mouth. So that means their butt and their throat are in almost the exact same place, which we'll call an anus from this point forward.
Okay.
So why would that be important? Well, the reason it's important, John, is because they spawn by sticking their heads into tunnels and root wads made by salamanders. And then they pump the gametes through the gills and spit them out through the mouth down the canal as far as possible. So the female will swim up and stick her head in the hole and go poof, and spit some eggs into the hole. And then dad has to come along and do the same thing with his sperm, spitting his sperm down the hole to make new fish. That's pirate perch. And I think the whole time they're going, "Arr, ye matey. I'm going to make me some new babies today." Pirate perch.
First envy me, humans. I can blast it out my face.
Do you ever reproduce in a hole? Let's not talk about that. All right.
Okay. Move on.
Moving on. John, you must know about grunion.
I know about grunions.
Right. Right. Grunions spawn on land.
Yes, they do.
In California, he's known for these great grunion runs. My mom was telling me as a kid, she used to do grunion fishing. They're in the big spawn. They run out there with nets and just scoop out hundreds of grunions when they were doing. But these silversides, they ride full moon tides and they strand themselves along the beaches in Southern California. And by temporarily asphyxiating themselves, that causes them to have fishy orgasms. So you might hear about people who use asphyxiation as a fetish.
Yes.
These fish have been doing it for millions of years.
Oh, well, the things we could learn.
Yeah. So actually, so the males do. The females bury their eggs in the sand, and the males just go, can't breathe, and I'm done. And they finish on the sand, and all that leaks down through the sand. And there are so many thousands of males doing this on top of those eggs all at one time those sperm get their way through the sand and fertilize those grunion babies or eggs and making grunion babies. So there you are. Asphyxiation fetish fish. Pretty good, huh?
It's good. And I'm kind of, this brings up this mental picture back, you know, my friend group back in the day when Kathy and I were much younger. There was a young lady in our friend group that was rather a crazy dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And her nickname was Street Grunion. Mm-hmm. Because of the, anyway, if you saw this, the whole thing, you'd get it. But
it's a good name. By the way, there is a website called grunion.com. If you want to learn more about grunion conservation, you can do that. And by the way, after these eggs are fertilized, the very next high tide will wash them all out to sea. The babies are not born in the sand. They're born in the sea, but the eggs are fertilized in the sand by that giant asphyxiation orgy.
That is interesting because I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, that's a popular animal documentary topic is the grunions and the, mm-hmm. But apparently they're so good to eat that, and so many people are in on it. They've got to be protected. It's crazy.
Right. Well, that's the trick about fish, John. Most are good to eat. But if they're easy to catch and good to eat, it's going to be more attractive to us. So, you know,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. So, John, you ever meet like a gay dude who hangs out with all these really hot women because he's gay and they're comfortable with him, and you think, man, if only I was a little bit gay. I could have all those hot girls hanging around with me too, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? We've always
I've had
some great gay friends, very good looking guys who their girlfriends were all like just super attractive girls, and they're very comfortable with them, and they're like, you know, they change their clothes in front of them, and they tell them everything, and you think, man, that guy's living my best life. But this actually behavior is a fishy behavior. This happens in fish. Have you heard of a fish that does this?
Well, what that affects
that pretends to be gay to attract females?
No.
All right. It's different than
the things I'm thinking of.
You're thinking of like a sneaker male, like where
sneakers, males. Yeah.
Right. Where the fish will put on colors of the female foot to sneak past a big bull to mate with all the other females. That's more like a bosom buddy game.
Right.
This fish actually pretends to be gay to attract female fish. So it comes in, it sashays, it listens to show tunes, the whole thing.
Non-threatening
male, right? So here we go. So it's a fish called a molly. Have you heard of a molly?
I have heard of mollies. Aren't they aquarium fish?
They could be, yeah. Most fish are if you put them in an aquarium. they also live elsewhere.
I think my mama had some mollies.
Yeah, well, Atlantic mollies.
They're black.
Atlantic mollies we're talking about, and they exhibit a thing called dominant hierarchy. And the small subordinate males have to sit and wait while a large crowd of colorful dominant males monopolize the females. So all these females are being mated with by all these dominant, beautiful males. So how can this misfit bachelors prove their worth to females? Well, they have to demonstrate their skills on one another, of course. So these fish, these mollies, have to demonstrate homosexual behavior with each other, and that increases their attractiveness to males. These females are turned on by watching these males have fish sex with each other.
Okay.
That's a real thing, John. I'm just reading the news.
Isn't nature wonderful?
Isn't nature wonderful? So these guys are like, man, I can't get laid with those girls. And the other guys are me either. I'm like, well, why don't we just do it together? At least we got the good feelings. You know, gay for the, what do they call it? Gay for the stay.
Gay for the stay.
Like when you're in prison.
Gay for the
something.
Spawning run. Yeah.
Okay. Right. But then that action of being gay for the stay, females look over and go, hey, those guys are really good at it. And they leave those big, beautiful males and go over with the homosexual mollies, who turns out aren't homosexual at all. They're just showing off.
They're just showing
look
off.
Look what I can do. And that works for them. Yeah. So.
Well,
mollies.
Everybody finds a way.
Yeah, I fully support that. It's really funny. Also. But I mean, I just learned about this today, and I thought, I've got to tell everybody about gay mollies and how they use how they attract females. So
you're gonna be in the fish, the aquarium, the pet shop, or wherever, and you're just gonna be like, mollies. I fully support it. I fully support you.
Yeah, they all have.
I'm sure
flags.
That'll be a relief.
Yeah, their little flags are flying. They march in parades. The whole thing. It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm fully supportive. I love it.
Right on.
And
right
on. What I also love about it, John, is just that, again, we earlier were talking about this whole science argument that people who don't support the LGBTQ+ community will use science as they're saying it doesn't happen in nature. Well, boom, hammer down.
Boom, yeah.
Hammer, it happens a lot, and they like it. And good for them. And finally, John, I've got one more story about a fish called a fantail darter. And what a fantail darter does to attract females is, you have heard of these things before?
Yes, I've heard of fantail darters, but I heard of them as far as it goes with me.
Right. Well, they trick females into mating with them. They're a little bit of like, a little like catfishing, I guess. Is that what that is? When you
a little bit of lounge lizarding.
Yeah. Well, they fake out females to spawn with them by using fake eggs. They have fake eggs.
Fake egg.
Yeah. And they spawn upside down. So male fantail darters guard cavities on the bottom sides of a flat rock. And they want to prove to other females they're good fathers. And the way that females look at these males and they go, okay, if they're a good dad, that means they probably have already mated with someone or are guarding some eggs. But how do you get to that first female if you're not already guarding eggs? Well, you produce fake eggs so you can trick them. So male fantails have large orange spheres on their first dorsal fin that look just like their egg, like the female eggs. They look identical. You couldn't tell them apart. So the females invert themselves to lay eggs on the roof of the nest. His eggs mimic that. So those fish hang upside down on these rocks. And with those with those fins touching the rocks, it looks like a cluster of eggs. The females see that, and then they go and squirt their eggs and glue them to their rocks, and then the male can spawn on them. So they feel like, that guy's a swell guy. I support that. So
is it that he's a okay, so they think he's a good father. It's not the, I used to be in a heavy metal band.
Nope.
I'm really rich and was an astronaut.
So the equivalent would be, you know, let's say you're a single guy and you've got a friend who has like a three-year-old niece, and you take that three-year-old to the park and push her on the swings for a while. And some girl looks over and look how good he is with that baby. And then they come over and they have that conversation.
I get it now. So I get it. That totally works. Way
you
to go,
know that. Puppies work same way. So you can bring a puppy to the park and you can meet girls. Bring babies to the park, you can meet girls. Or if you're a fantail darter, put some eggs on a rock and fan over them. And all of a sudden, oh, look at him. He's a good dad. I'm going to come give him my eggs. Yeah, there it is. There it is, John. The secret sex life of fish. Hope you like those new ones.
I love those new ones. That was fantastic. Every one of them. Thank you so much for that, Clay. That was awesome.
Really, thank you to Fisheries Blog for giving me those. I completely lifted them from their website, and I will share a link, of course, in the show notes and send them a thank you note.
Indeed. Please do. All right. Well, coming up, for all of you that miss Lure Love, we decided, well, Clay asked me, actually, and I said, sure, I'd cut this little thing out of our Valentine's show, and we'll
from
pop
the archives.
It in here. It's in the archives, but we're going to bring it to you here. It's a little, you know, that show was crazy, Clay, because somehow we got in our minds that we were going to do a comedy skit-based type infotainment show.
It was a good show.
It was a lot of work to write all those skits, and it's mostly just silly dad humor, but this one came out a lot of fun. So sit back and listen to the time Crappie Hippie bounced his gift ideas off Tim Tacklebox Beat and Lucy, the Lure supercomputer.
Lure Love, I can't get enough. Got a space in my tackle box, just got to fill it up. Lure Love, I can't ever stop. Don't got a basement, got an underground tackle shop.
Well, John, have you decided what you're doing for Valentine's Day this year?
Oh, I got a few ideas.
Okay, let's hear them.
And I will offer my appraisal, so you can't go wrong.
Well, I was thinking she needed a 7-foot zero-gravity panfish rod.
Does Kathy like to fish?
Well, no, not really.
You've been buzzed. That sounds more like a gift for you than for Kathy.
Oh, well, I guess, but I thought she could appreciate the beauty and the action of the rod before she let me borrow it.
As in, borrow it forever?
Bro that knows.
Deleted. Next gift idea, please.
Okay. Well, then how about some new Carhartt insulated coveralls? Those would be so comfortable.
In what size?
I think an extra large men's ought to do it.
Kathy wears an extra large men's?
No, heck no. She wears like a small women's or something.
So what was your plan? To share the coveralls?
Maybe something like that.
Crappie Hippie, you are so busted.
Okay, a new fillet knife then. A trucker's cap. A fly fishing vest. A new pair of hemostats. A spool of spider wire. New H chenille. A Fishner's Hoo Rag, a Whopper Plopper, a Nicole Stone signature tackle box, a jug of catfish dip.
I don't believe Lucy thinks much of your choices here, John.
No, I do not. John, you are like Homer Simpson when he gave Marge a bowling ball for her birthday. It would serve you right if Kathy took one of your so-called gifts out for a fishing session and ended up meeting someone at the fishing hole, just like Marge did at the bowling alley.
Whoa, bro. I think you are sliding downhill in terms of Lucy's opinion of your romantic man skills.
Yeah, I see what you mean. All right, right. Here's the best one ever.
I am almost afraid to ask.
Boots. New boots, Lucy, and her exact size and everything.
That could be all right.
I am searching online records of Kathy's retail buying habits. She does enjoy cowboy boots, Red Wing setters, and other attractive functional foot coverings when she finds them at sales or at the thrift store.
Those are great fun and outdoorsy too.
Well, I didn't exactly get her those kind of boots.
Oh, dear.
Okay, what did you get her?
Hip boots.
Hip boots? Oh, crappy hippie. Not hip boots.
So what did you get her? Some Sims?
Oh, you nailed it, Tim.
But you said Kathy doesn't fish.
They ain't for fishing.
You buy her some of the finest fly fishing wading boots made, but she's not going to take them out? What is she going to do with them?
I sort of figured she might enjoy wearing them around the house.
Around the house?
Well, heck yeah, she's cute as a bug in fishing gear, and it's okay to pretend sometimes. She'd be the sweet girl that I met streamside who outfished me and then lured me home. Get it? And of course, if she does have to fix the sump pump or shovel some manure or something like that, she's going to have the perfect gear to stay neat and tidy.
Crappy hippie, you are hopeless. Poor Kathy.
Oh, heck, Lucy, you know I'm just joshing. Kathy would never let me get away with giving her hip boots. She's got more going for her than that. What we actually do is keep it simple. I make her a card every year, and she sends me a song that expresses the gentle depths of her love. Last year, she sent me this.
Now that's love. Kathy Yelland is the first lady of grunge. I guess I should have had more faith in you, John, and in Kathy.
It's no shame, Lucy. No matter how smart you get or how much data you collect, you will never understand romance. Crappy Hippie and I have been at it for over 40 years without any firm conclusions.
But bromance, on the other hand, is easy. So the only lure I'm giving my pod bro on this special day is a hellbender, dude. It's the deep diver with the heart-shaped dive plane.
Oh, wow. This is a great white and glitter 900 series, like the one you caught all those Lakers on at God's Lake when you were a teenager, right?
Oh, it's not like it, Tim. It's the very lure. I love you, man.
John, I'm honored. You are the king.
All right. So wasn't that cute?
That was. I remember hearing that when it first aired, and it's still just as good. You know, the fun thing about podcasts, John, is you can go back in history and listen. And you forget sometimes all the great content that people have made. And I miss Lure Love Podcast. It was by far my favorite fishing podcast. I even liked it more than the Fish Nerds.
Oh, God.
I know. When you quit the Fish Nerds and went over there with Tim.
I was dead to you.
You were dead. And then you made this great show. And I was like, I was so jealous. I was like, oh, man, what do I got to do to lure John back? I'm going to put some eggs on the roof of my barn, see if I can get him to come back.
Those were some nice pictures.
Yeah.
All right. We're veering away.
That's how we roll, John. We veer.
We veer, and we're going to bring it back in here because this is actually a Christmas story, but we couldn't. We've actually dropped this piece three times because we're just looking for the perfect place to put it in. It was a Christmas gift. But it was a beautiful, beautiful Christmas gift. Our Fish Nerd librarian, Jeff Donaldson, has a lovely wife, Whitney Davidson, and she is one heck of a woman. And she gave him a super cool, super nice, super, you know, I know my man and I know what my man wants. And she got right to the heart of the matter. Please give this story a listen. All right, Jeff, it's great to have you in Glasswater Studios this morning. I am just out of my mind about this news. I was on Instagram, and I saw your post about the flesh flies, and I'm like, flesh flies? And then I saw that you are getting to go to a special place in Alaska, and I'm going to let you pronounce it for me.
Yeah, it's Katmai. Specifically, it's going to be mostly the Naknek River. But yeah, Katmai National Park, that's the... If you're familiar with the bears and the waterfall, that's where they are. Now this is a different river, but yeah, I'll be over there with the bears. If you're familiar with the Fat Bear Week bears, then that's the bears.
Well, I'm telling you, when you put that up, and I did accidentally pronounce it correctly, Katmai, I looked it up, and you just scroll through picture after picture after picture of bears. And
yeah
a couple of them with the body parts in their mouths, you know, some unlucky tourists, but right. I guess they're worth seeing. But we need to backtrack because the listeners right. Don't even know what we're talking about. So I'm just going to leave it to you to tell us about your special Christmas, man.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is like absolutely floored me. So a while back earlier this fall, our local fly shop, shout out to K&K Fly Fishers, I was in there and noticed that they had had a last minute opening. I think somebody canceled on their trip to Katmai in the fall. And unfortunately, I didn't have the money to go, or else I would have jumped right on it. But I mentioned something about that to my wife, and she filed that away and managed to sneakily book me for this coming fall. They have 2 weeks that they're doing. I'm going to go the second week of a trip to Katmai, and I got that for Christmas. I could totally not expecting it. Like, I was expecting maybe a new cordless fillet knife, right? and, you know, she had put it on. One of the things I had asked for was one of those boards with a clamp on it that you use to clean a fish with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so my in-laws had got me one of those tables that you use to clean fish on that has like the sink and the faucet and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
gonna, we'll put that to some use here. not too long, but you know, I got that, and then she had me open. She was like, just open this one last. I could obviously tell it was the, you know, the fish holder board thing, right? And I thought, okay. And then I opened it up. I looked, awesome, cool, thanks. And was clamped on. It was a little thing that she made. She made a little thing in Canva that said, hey, here, fishy, fishy. And then on the inside, it said, you're going to Katmai with K&K in 2024. I was like, what? I was gobsmacked. I was just like, yeah, I just was absolutely floored. Because, I mean, I don't know if I'd be the person to spend the money to do this, right? So she's like, well, I'm going to spend it for you.
Well, that is, the whole story is so cute and so adorable, and your wife is so wonderful and lovely.
Yes,
and,
yes.
Because yeah. sometimes it does. It takes someone else to get you to jump. And you have been talking about this ever since I've known you, getting to go up and hit the salmon in some form, and the river sounds familiar. But yeah, it's great. It's great. It's super cool. Way to go, Whit. What a gal. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, she knocked it out of the park. That would be my lovely wife, Whitney Davison.
All right.
And so much props to her for filing that info away. And then, like, you know, we got a little extra money. I'm going to go ahead and make the decision for you.
That's it. Live it up while you're alive. Okay, so the thrill is in. The ticket is purchased. You are going to go to Katmai, and
yep.
Tell us real quick just what goes into this. What goes into this? Because maybe there's some other listeners out here that are just like, you know, when my turn comes, my dream trip, when I get to go to Alaska, they want to fly fish for these salmon. How is the Flatland Fly Fisher going to do it?
Well, mostly it's not going to be salmon. It's actually going to be rainbow trout and Donnelly Varden. Now, there is some silver in the system during that time, but what most people are, well, you know, I think what's going to be the primary target is very large rainbow trout, like some of the largest rainbow trout in the world. I was up there talking to them a couple days ago, and Kevin said, you know, we don't even bother taking a picture of it unless it's 30 inches or more.
Right. And wow. I'm like, whoa. And these are actual wild. Indigenous,
just wild rainbow trout.
Rainbow trout, sit around. West Coast thing. Okay,
yeah. So what they're doing is they're just sitting in there eating salmon eggs and dead salmon flesh all the time, and salmon smolts. I mean, it's all the reason they're so huge is that this is one of the most productive systems for salmon in the world. This is the Bristol Bay area, which has just absolutely enormous runs of sockeye salmon. And so the reason the fish are so gigantic here is entirely based around the fact that we've got all these sockeye salmon running up in here, laying eggs. They're chowing down on eggs. And then when the fish die, that's the salmon or the flesh fly thing is literally the fish, you know, the salmon die and they start to decompose and big chunks of salmon meat come floating down the river and the fish just sit there with their mouths open and eat decomposing salmon. And then in the spring and early summer, they're eating all the salmon smolt that have hatched out. When I'm going in September, it's going to be almost entirely egg and flesh fly fishing for the most part. And with the eggs, it's going to be bead. I've never fished beads with a fly rod before. But that's the thing. They're like, you can fish other things if you want to, but that's what that's what you're going to catch the vast majority of the fish on. So
just surrender your purity and just use the beads. Just use the flesh. Yeah.
You are matching the hatch in terms of, I know people have a problem with the beads, but the beads do prevent kind of deep hooking on fish. That's kind of why they got started doing it in the first place, was fish tend to really inhale egg flies and get them hooked way down deep in their mouth or their guts or whatever. So the bead is pegged on your leader a little ways up from the hook. And what happens is they bite the bead. And then as they kind of turn or whatever, they'll get hooked with the hook in the mouth rather than getting deep hooked. So it's really about protecting the fish. I know people have purity issues about fishing beads, but it really is a way to protect the resource by not having them get so deep hooked all the time.
Well, there you go. That's good to know. And I'll tell you that nobody can get pure. This is crazy. This is a time where these dollies and these huge rainbows are acting just like big old catfish. And you want to get into the fish brotherhood. They don't care. They don't even throw in shade on each other. If rotten meat is what's on the menu, I'm not a rainbow trout. I'm a channel cat now. And yeah, just like a channel cat will come up every now and then and eat moths and stuff off the surface of a pond at night and pretend it's a dry fly trout. Well, here we go. This is what fascinates the heck out of me. I cannot stand it. I've heard about it. I've seen about it. But the bears will be there.
There will be bears around, absolutely. I mean, now the place where the bears most people think of is Brooks Falls, and that actually won't be on the river that we'll be fishing. We will go over there to that area and look at the bears and maybe do some fishing in that river. But the real action is over on the Naknek River, which is considerably bigger. And it's going to be fishing out of a boat mostly. You know, you can get out and fish if you want to, but I'll kind of get into kind of what they're going to be having us do. A lot of it's going to be using the bead rigs. And honestly, I'm not even going to bother taking one of my rigs up there for that. I mean, they've got stuff. They've got the gear. I was talking to Kevin. He said, yeah, you can take your own stuff, but they've already got their stuff all, they've got the stuff all rigged up in the boat, ready to go, you know? Wow. And so if you want to take your own gear, you can. And I am going to take some spay rods up there to swing a few flies, just because I'll get to the point where I want to do something besides bead fish. And they said, yeah, people will want to do that. So I'll take my spay rods up there for that. But mostly, here's what you need to bring yourself. You need to preferably bring your own waders and boots. They have some, but a limited selection. Your clothes, like if you want to bring some flies and stuff, great, but they have all that kind of stuff. You need to bring like your rain gear, you know, your layers and stuff like that. Any other cameras, whatever and whatnot. But this is the kind of trip where people that don't ever fish, you know, they'll just buy the trip and go up there. This could be how it could be. And a guy just put a rod in your hand and say, here, use this. Because I was talking to him about, like, do I need to practice my casting or anything? You're like, no, literally, this is just flopping out big indicators with, this is literally just a lot of roll casting and just flopping those indicators out there with beads on them and a fair amount of weight. So it's not like fancy fly casting. It's going to be pretty basic. The good old bobber fishing, basically, turned fly rod version. But
well, it's interesting to me. Now, I want to ask you a couple things I've heard about Alaska. Like, a lot of people that travel up there say use the double parka system because you're going to need one for one day and one for the next day because you tend to get damp and you need to let your layers dry out, especially your overcoat. Also, I didn't know if that was how you're going to pack and what kind of temperatures you're looking at and what you need to protect yourself.
Yeah, I mean, like in September, it can be anywhere from 30 to 70. I mean, it just kind of depends. That part down there is a little more temperate than, say, like up around Fairbanks where Trix is, but it still can get fairly cool. It can be rainy, it can be wet. And so, yeah, I mean, I've got my good Sims wading rain jacket thing that, yeah, that'll definitely be my outer layer. And then I'm going to have multiple like inner layer type stuff. Yeah, I even went and bought a new completely waterproof submersible backpack thing so I can just shove all my layers in that. It doesn't matter how hard it rains, it will not get wet.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant. So, and that equipment's going to get, that stuff will get its test runs here when we start fishing again in the spring.
But, right. And we will be back with a follow-up report. Even if Jeff does get eaten by a bear, Whitney and I will come in and do it. So don't worry, bro.
Yeah, the other thing that The other thing you got to really like be aware of, although by September it should be past the worst of it, it's going to be the bugs, right?
I've heard
the mosquitoes and the black flies and the no-see-ums and all that. But by September that should have died down some. But I'm still taking my hat that has the net that drops down around it, because it can be pretty miserable. And bring some good repellent. I've got that Sawyer Picaridin stuff that seems to work really, really well. You know, and they even say bring some sunscreen, because sometimes the sun does come out, and sunglasses, polarized glasses, say it's a big thing to have. It's likely it's going to be your typical kind of Pacific Coast day of the kind of Pacific Northwest or whatever. It's probably going to be gray and cloudy. And
Southern Alaska is where the peninsula, where the Aleutian Islands go trailing off into the ocean. Interesting. Okay, real quick, give me some weights. Give me, you know, are these 10 weights? Are they 8 weights? What kind of rods are we using? What kind of line? What kind of things will these guides be providing? Tell me about it real quick.
So pretty much and I've been doing some research on this, pretty much the go-to rod for Alaska trout fishing is a 7 weight, which is a pretty heavy fly rod. For down this part of Alaska, that is very much the standard set. And they like to use long ones. They like to use 10-foot 7 weights in order to kind of keep some of your line off the water. Makes it easier to mend when you're doing some of these drifts. But yeah, you take a 5 weight up there and you hook into a 30 some odd inch rainbow, you're going to be not to say that it can't be done. No. Right? I mean, I'm sure somebody's gone up there and taken a 3 weight just for giggles, but you want to be able to get these fish in a reasonable amount of time. Yes. And then as far as other rods go, now you can bring a 5 weight. We'll probably go like here or there, go like fish a smaller stream, maybe just for giggles. And I'm actually going to take a 10 car rod.
I knew it.
You know, even if it's just, it looks like there's a little creek that runs right by the lodge, like literally runs like within like about, oh, I don't know, 50 yards of the lodge, there's a little creek. I'm like, I'm going to go throw a tinkara rod in that. Now, a tinkara rod against 36-inch trout, forget it. It's going to just destroy, you know. If you had heavy enough tippet to keep it from not breaking off, it'd just blast that rod to pieces. But yeah, I will take one just to fiddle around with. And then your various kind of spay rod system, again, looking at fairly robust. You know, I wouldn't go lighter than a 5 weight spay or switch. And with the spay and switch rods, add like 2 or 3 line weights to that, to what it kind of really is in terms of a single hand rod. So like a 5 weight spay or switch would be something more like a 7 or 8 weight single hand rod. So okay. Yeah, and you're just looking at the line for the bead fishing, your standard weight forward. They tend to go with ones that kind of have a long back taper, so it's a little easier to mend them. And then with the spay rod systems, you're looking at using sink tips a lot. And the thing that they will take these flesh flies on the swing of the spay rod. So that's kind of why I want to drag mine up there and actually use it. So I've got that 6 weight switch, and then I've got a 7 weight spay. I'll probably take both of them. Those would be I'll take a 10 car rod. The biggest trout I've ever caught on a fly rod was down at Roaring River. One of the times after it flooded up there at the very top where the spring is, that this kind of dammed off area, it's got some absolutely enormous fish in it up there. And every time it floods, some of those fish end up down in the river. And I caught one of them one time, and it was probably maybe 26 inches. And that was a heck of a fight. And so I don't even know what a 36 inch fish is going to be like. That's going to be like, I mean, make sure you got your drag set right.
It's going to look like a rainbow colored orca coming out of there. I mean, really?
Yeah.
These are
salmon sized rainbows. Yeah.
Yeah. If they jump at all when they get that big, but I'm sure they'll give you a look, and I'm sure they'll give you a good burn when they take off on that first run, especially. All right. Well, listen, this all sounds so exciting. It's just leading me to one final big question.
Yeah.
What are you going to get for Whitney now?
Yeah, that's the big one, isn't it? Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out. I thought I was pretty cool for getting her some planters that she wanted.
Yeah, I don't think that was a nice thought, but I think next Christmas, planters, slippers, none of that stuff's going to cut it.
Yeah, well, we'll figure something out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably some other kind of trip somewhere with the two of us. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, that, or if you want to get something more individual, you can always sign her up with a series of massages from a guy that looks like Keanu Reeves or something like that.
Right.
All right, brother. Well, listen, this is exciting. We will have you back when you get back. I'm just kidding about the bears. I'm sure the guides come well armed and you will be out in your boat most of the time, except when you're off navigating your tiny side creeks. That's the part where I'm going to be like,
I've been in bear country before. I know what you do. You just constantly talk to let them know you're coming. You know,
okay. Cause that's it.
There's situational awareness is what it's about, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, I love the confidence, and I am once again, thank you for sharing this on Instagram, and thank you for sharing it with the listeners. We all wish you well and a great trip, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. See you, John.
See you later, man. Bye.
Bye.
Well, now John, I got to stop you. I got to tell you, I was today years old when I learned that Jeff was married. I had no
idea, huh?
I'm a terrible friend. I don't spend time getting to know people. It takes me a long time to learn stuff.
Okay, Clay, have you ever had a gift that cool? Is Kristen or anybody else ever handed you something so cool as that?
Well, I'm going to say yes, because I'll be in trouble if I don't. So right. I won't tell you what it is. It's a secret.
Ooh.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Well, that's awesome. But I'm telling you, this is the wife of a fisher. This is someone who knows. Mm-hmm. She may not be into it herself, but by golly, although she'll go. But anyway, awful good. Way to go, Whitney. Hit it out of the park. Fantastic. If
Nailed
Jeff
it.
Don't get don't I hope he don't get eaten by a bear, but we got a plan B if that happens. So we're on it.
On it.
All right.
What's
I
left,
gotta
John?
Get out of here. I gotta get out of here. I got a meeting with the public relations liaison for Congresswoman Charisse Davids. We're going to talk about Glasswater Angling, lead-free fishing company. It's a Kansas company, a small business. Congresswoman Charisse Davids is a Democrat congressperson from the eastern Kansas, and she is interested in all things small business and all things environmental, and they invited me to at least get – I'm going to be Congresswoman adjacent. So I'm going to be talking to one of her assistants. So this is going to be really cool, but I got to get on out of here, man. Let's
congratulations, by the way. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I can tell you most politicians don't want to talk to me.
Can't imagine why.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this big show up. And John, I think we did a solid Valentine's special.
Well, I think so too. Way to go, Clay.
Nothing says romance like two old white guys.
Two old farts talking fish and sex.
Yep.
Heck yeah. So, well, these folks have been listening to us talk fish sex when they could have, should have been fishing.
Or doing it. All right. Yeah. We want to thank our wives, especially for putting up with our silly romance. They somehow have made it with us for all these years.
All these years.
Yeah, we gotta make sure we thank them and our families for supporting us while we podcast and doing all the silly things we do. And big thanks to Wally Pleasant, Diana's Bath Salts, and of course, for our sex theme song, Castmaster, what is
Mysterious Baitcaster Cylinder.
Thank you, Mysterious. Well, I don't know why I can't memorize that. Mysterious Baitcaster Cylinder.
Because you don't fish with no baitcaster, that's why.
I do not, and he knows it. And of course, who else we thank? John, I've lost track.
Oh, we're going to thank the fabulous environmental warriors out in California for all their hard work, and everybody that's doing it all over this great country of ours. Thank you for your hard work. Thank you to the Lure Love Podcast, and that would be Tim Tacklebox Beat and Lucy the Lure Supercomputer. Thank you to Jeff Donaldson for that great story on your special gift, and thank you most of all to Whitney Davidson, who makes her husband feel like a king.
Yeah, good for her.
Indeed.
Oh, so hey. John, until next time,
follow the code of the fish nerd. Spawn early and often.
Never trust a free lunch with strings attached.
And swim against the current every chance you get.
We did it, John. We made a podcast.
Whether you're fly fishing in the stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, fish nerds. Fish nerds. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. It's a podcast.
Just for the halibut.
Fried in a basket or broiled in a pan. Eat it raw like you're in Siam. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. It's a podcast.
Nice job, John King. I think we made a solid show today.